Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, July 19th, 2011, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Tonight, we're pleased to have Joseph Anthony and Kathy Beckman with us to talk about Comet Elenin. With psychic ability since early life, Joe's study and application of astrology over the last 15 years brings insights that he'll be sharing with us this evening concerning the comet. His websites are planetswithin.com and astrologicalstrategies.com. Joining him is a specialist in Mayan astrology, Kathy Beckman, whose unique ability to bridge the business and spiritual worlds has helped people from all walks of life in developing personally or professionally through seminars and books she's written and DVDs found on her website, inspirationalgal.com. We'd like to thank Purple Sage and Tammy for hosting the chat room and switchboard tonight. Purple Sage will be forwarding your questions to us from the chat room for those who can't call in. If you can call, our number is 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. As always, we ask you to be brief and please only questions or comments relating to our topic this evening. Now, before we get started, I'd like to remind you that if you'd register as a listener here on Blog Talk Radio and then click follow on our show page, it would really help us to get our show featured, which would help us reach more starseeds. We've had almost 44,000 listens to our show, and so far, only 360 followers. So please register for free and click the word follow on our show page. Then tell a friend. The Starseed Radio Academy team is grateful for your help. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll be getting started in just a minute here, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. If you'd like our Stage 1 Starseed confirmation, you'll get your natal and progress charts plus an MP3 of your reading pointing out and explaining your star markings if you have them. Our Stage 2 readings, which are a one-on-one phone consultation, do get priority and include the Starseed confirmation if you haven't had one. Both Lavendar and I are available for the Stage 2 personal consultation. Make sure your birth info is exact to the minute and include your place of birth as well as your current place of residence. If any of that is missing, it'll delay your reading until we can find out. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so don't miss out. And now I'd like to introduce my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello, Lavendar here. This is going to be a great show. I'm really excited about our guest tonight. And so are they on the line already?
They sure are. Let's bring them on. Here is Joseph Anthony and Kathy Beckman.
All right,
welcome.
Great. Let them come on.
Hello.
Hi there. How
Hi.
Are you?
Good. We're good. We're ready to hear what you have to say. So why don't we just start by saying, you know, tell us about, how do you pronounce it, Elenin? Elenin?
Elenin.
Elenin. Yeah, just give us a little brief description, if you would. Who's going to start first, Anthony or Kathy? Who's going to give us the definition?
Okay, I'll start. I'm sure Kathy will chime in also.
Okay.
Comet / dwarf star / we don't know what star that's coming into our galaxy. And it was discovered on December 10th, 2010, by this Russian scientist named Leonard Elenin. And he discovered it by accident that there was this large body coming into our solar system. And ever since then, I mean, NASA's been taking a look at this thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, NASA's been taking a look at it, and there's a whole host of information as well as disinformation out there on the Internet. And what Joseph and I have been striving to do is weed through all the information out there to try and get down to the bottom of what we really do know and what we don't know.
Basically. And, you know, a lot of people have speculated, is this the planet Nibiru? Is this planet X? You know, and honestly, no one really knows. I mean, this definitely could be the possibility, but we don't even know exactly what it is. I mean, there's even wide speculation that this may not even be a comet, that it actually may be a craft, you know, of some sort. But again, we don't know for sure. No one really knows for sure. And if, you know, our governments know, they're probably keeping it secret. So right now, we're just calling it a comet. You know, even the size and the dimension of this is still unknown because, you know, the major agencies that are involved have not chimed in on it, or they're not, you know, trying to let it be publicly known of what this is. So, but we are definitely, you know, paying attention to this ball of something that's coming our way, and it's actually in our solar system, and it has already been making alignments. So whatever it is, you know, it seems to be affecting the gravitational pull of the Earth and the planets.
As of today, it's between the orbits of Mars and Earth, to give you kind of a relative idea of where it is in our neighborhood.
Okay. So you've been tracking this for some time. Can you give us some examples of what you found with the alignments that have happened so far, say, with Earth changes?
You bet. And just to preface it, I want to let you know that all the information that we're getting from as far as tracking Elenin can be found on NASA's JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, website. So if you were to go in there and search for Elenin, you could see exactly what we're seeing, just so you don't think we're doing any kind of hocus or hocus pocus.
Okay.
But to speak of the alignments, on February 27th, 2010, Elenin, the Earth, and the Sun, and Jupiter was very close in the alignment. Those planets and Sun were all aligned. And on February 27, 2010, Chile experienced an 8.8 earthquake. So that was one of the first things that kind of had people standing up and taking notice when they started looking at the alignments. And the next major alignment happened in September 4th of last year. So September 4th, 2010, there was another alignment, and that was with Elenin, Mercury, the Sun, and Earth. And you're going to see that most of the alignments that we're speaking of have to do with Elenin, the Sun, and Earth. And every so often, there's another planet involved. That date happened to have been the 7.0 earthquake in New Zealand, Christchurch, New Zealand. Moving forward, on March 11th, of 2011, most people will probably clue into that date immediately. March 11th was the major 9.0 earthquake and tsunami that happened in Japan. And on that date, we had Elenin, Earth, and the Sun all in alignment. And as you can kind of see, as they're getting closer, the degree of the earthquakes are getting a little bit more severe.
Interesting, huh? And also on that day, just to touch upon the Western astrology, is that on March between the 9th and the 11th, that's when we had Uranus going into Aries. Now, I'm sure you're very familiar with that alignment, am I not? Am I right?
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And then Uranus in Aries, for those of you that are not aware, represents a major change or a major shift an awakening, if you will. And it's interesting that, you know, this alignment of Elenin had occurred perfectly on March 11th, which is right there with that Uranus going into Aries. And, you know, also in the Mayan calendar, there was an alignment there that took place.
Yeah, there's something called the evolution of consciousness, which is a 16.4 billion year Mayan calendar. And we're in the ninth and final wave of the calendar, and it started on March 9th, which there was also an earthquake in Japan. That was a 7.0 earthquake. So that was the first day of the ninth and final wave of the 16.4 billion year calendar that ends October 28th of this year. But on March 11th, on their sacred calendar, it was three offering. And three typically stands for action. Three is also a very difficult number. There's usually controversy and struggle that goes on with three. And the offering portion of it usually has to do with water. So we see on their sacred calendar a day of action or struggle and water. And that was the day of the tsunami.
Interesting, huh? Interesting correlation between the two, or the three, actually, with Western astrology. But as you can tell, this body seems to indicate, you know, some sort of massive change, you know, and we've also gone forward, you know, with more dates, and we'll cover those later, I'm sure, about some of the other alignments that are occurring and what areas that we should really look forward to. But as you can tell, you know, we've got three alignments that took place with this Elenin and three significant events that took place on Earth on that day. It wasn't even like a day off or so. It was just right on that day we had some significant events that took place. So, and this comet is coming closer and closer to Earth, and we'll cover that in a little bit. And it will get really close to Earth real soon. So no one has predicted it's going to hit it. No one is saying that it's going to be devastating, but we don't know. We just don't know. So we're going to really keep an eye on the next few months. So, do we get that?
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, I had my phone muted. Could you give us a little insight to maybe some of the ancient predictions that you know about that maybe align to this?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'd also like to have the opportunity to go through the alignments that will be occurring the rest of this year. And one of the ancient predictions that may or may not, again, it's all speculation. I really want to make sure that we hit that point home, that nobody knows for sure. But the Maya do prophesize 3 days or 60 to 70 hours of darkness. It's kind of been described both ways. And they say that these 3 days of darkness will be the indication that the end of the long count calendar is near, which is why the Mayas say that they don't know if 2012 is the end of the long count calendar. They're waiting for these 3 days of darkness. Now, the other thing that the Mayas say about these 3 days of darkness is that we are not to have any fear during these 3 days, that this is a time to really go within, to get close to source, to be closer to your maker, that during this dark, quote-unquote, dark period is when you let the light inside of you shine, and that it's only those that will be kind of running around and unsure of what's going on that will have a harder time making it through these 3 days. And I bring up the 3 days because there's been some speculation over what this comet could do as it gets closer. Some people speculate that because of its size, and again, we don't know its size for sure. Some people are saying that because of the size, it will block out the sun. Some people say that once we enter into the quote-unquote tail of the comet, and by the way, the tail always points away from the sun on every comet, that when we're in that debris field, so to speak, that could cause the 3 days of darkness. But again, when the Maya talk about the 3 days, they never talk about it as being something to fear. It's really for them, it's more of a positive sign that the shift of the ages truly is coming. And they say right now we're in the time between time. And when we see those 3 days of darkness, that's their indication that the shift is ready to happen.
You know, there have been several different cultures that have made predictions about this period. You know, the Hopi Indians, even the biblical, a lot of the biblical scholars. But, you know, and also the Mayan calendar, but nowhere does it say in the Mayan calendar, from what I understand, anything about destruction in terms of the world coming to an end.
Correct.
I've often said that it's not the end of the world, it's the end of the world as we know it, because things are shifting, and we clearly see that. We clearly see in the last couple of years or so how things have changed dramatically. Now, a few years ago, about the early part of 2009, I began to get visions and sort of these thoughts or ideas about prepare yourself because change is upon us. And I began to see and sense that there was going to be massive shifts and conscious awakenings and destruction. Now, I made these predictions several years ago in 2009, and I've made predictions about riots and economic situations and so on and so forth. And I've also taken the astrology and, compared that. And then Kathy and I have talked about the Mayans and their prediction and their dates, so on and so forth. And this comet seems to be something that was mentioned during one of our presentations that, you know, the planet Nibiru coming into our galaxy. Well, maybe this is Nibiru. We don't know. But one thing's for sure. From this point forward, there is no turning back. This is absolutely a time of awakening. Whatever happens, whatever occurs, whether it's an economic collapse, or another, horrific Japan earthquake, or, you know, whatever it is. From this point forward, it's a rebuilding or an awakening process.
And a cleansing.
We have to understand that. You know, the Mayan talk about, you know, the top tier of their pyramid represents co-creation. You know, what we create. I know, personally speaking for myself, it's almost as if I have a thought, and it almost manifests instantly. And I know a lot of other people are having these same awarenesses or awakening, if you will. So there definitely has been, there have been predictions, some horrific, some, like the biblical prophecies, some of the biblical prophecies about doom and gloom, the end of the world, that stuff. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it. You know, we can clearly see how technology is intervening in our lives, how the economic system around the world is teetering on collapse because of the monetary policies that were built on dishonesty. We see this, and even in Western astrology, we know when Pluto went into Capricorn in 2008 that it was going to bring out a lot more awareness in society or the powers that be, and it was going to begin to destroy or transform all of which it touched. And we clearly saw this in 2007 and 2008 when we had in our country here the President Bush and then Obama giving away billions of dollars to these corporations and these banks. You know, we began to see it was out in the open. So what I'm suggesting here is that whatever is taking place leading up to 2012 and beyond, it is an awakening that's taking place, a realization. So Comet, the comet Elenin is representing the ultimate realization that if, that this comet does block out the sun for 3 days or 70 hours or whatever it is, that this will be a sign to awaken to what is important on this planet, that we are all, you know, spiritual beings on this planet having a human experience, and that we must look to each other as sort of brothers and sisters or, you know, our family, because we both know that, we both realize that there's other life form in this galaxy, and I'm sure they've been watching us, and I'm sure they've been here. I mean, the writings are endless about life from other galaxies, and that this from this point forward, there is going to be an awakening of some kind. I hope it's one that's friendly, you know, where these craftsmanships let themselves be known. But this comet, Elending, represents a massive change, a massive awakening, a massive sign of transformation.
If this comet goes by us and has no other earthly changes, no more earthquakes, no more volcanoes, no nothing, if it does nothing more than just bring people like your listeners, people that have been viewing the video that I did on it, an awareness of ancient prophecies and bringing a spiritual awareness to them. I know that through this video that I did, and I'm reaching a lot of folks in the mainstream that never heard of these Mayan prophecies, have no clue to what I'm talking about the Hopi, you know, and they are starting to wake up to what's going on. So if this comet does nothing else but bring more people and awareness of what's truly transpiring on our planet, then
it's done its job.
Yeah.
So
I have a question for you about what do you think that this will do in the atmosphere with the satellites that are up that are controlling a lot of our computers on the planet?
Well, that's a great question because that is a strong possibility. You know, during one of my presentations or several presentations, I've made mention of what if a massive solar flare from the sun were to strike the Earth and knock out all of our electronics, including our satellites? Do you think that our sort of daily life would change a bit?
Yeah, quite a bit.
The question is absolutely yes. You know, we're so dependent on our cell phones and wireless devices and all kinds of other stuff that if something like this were to happen, and that's a great question because what if this comet tends to throw our magnetic field around the Earth, which it has been changing, by the way. Scientists have proven that the north is no longer pointing directly north. It is off a little bit. So what if this comet comes in? It does affect those satellites. You know, absolutely, we're gonna see some changes. But the other thing is, I want to bring up this: how many of you in the audience there have been feeling like something is off, or you're not feeling 100%? What I'm saying is, we are becoming more sensitive, especially since Neptune has gone into Pisces. But we're feeling like something is off, and that is affecting us. And maybe this comet has something to do with it. I don't know for sure, but something is changing within us. You know, David Wilcox talks about 2012 being a DNA restructuring, and maybe this comet is symbolic of that restructuring. And once again, you know, shifting the Earth's magnetic fields, you know, especially when it gets close to Mercury, because that's about communication. So, and it will be getting closer, but we don't know for sure. But one thing is certain, that we are feeling some sort of change on this planet. And it may absolutely affect the satellites.
You know, and good intro. Going back to the satellites, I do want to share with you, there's two satellites specifically that are in Earth's orbit that are called Stereo A and Stereo B. And Stereo A is ahead of Earth, and Stereo B travels behind Earth in our orbit. On August 2nd of this summer, Elenin is going to be coming very close to Stereo B, 4.5 million miles, which in our solar system is pretty darn close. I verified this with NASA. I sent them an email asking, and they responded that yes. Right after Elenin passes Stereo B, they're going to be moving the pointer of Stereo B from watching the sun to watching Elenin. So it'll be really interesting, and if you go on NASA's website, even today, you can see the pictures that are taken from Stereo A and Stereo B. So after August 2nd, we'll be able to see in much greater detail if NASA keeps Stereo B's feed up and running. We'll be able to see what's going on with a closer view of Elenin.
Absolutely, and it's great that you brought up NASA. There was something circulating was it a video about NASA, you know, shutting down the space shuttle portion of their exploration. But there was also a memo that went out about NASA telling NASA employees to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, and Kathy and I looked at this and we're like, "Whoa, if that isn't a sign, you know, when you've got the space agency saying, you know, telling its all of its employees to prepare for something."
Well, and it's interesting because they sent out the email as well as the video. And again, all of your listeners can go right on NASA's website and see the video. But there's a quote from that video that I want to share with you. "We at NASA are an incredibly unique organization. We're the only agency in the federal government that's responsible for safety and well-being of people, not only here on Earth, but off this planet as well." And I found it really interesting that they would add that in.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like they know something that they're not sharing with the rest of the world. And that's no surprise. But thank goodness we have, you know, amateur astronomers like Ellen and others out there that are really paying attention to what's going on. But, you know, like you said, August is very interesting, and how August 2nd.
You know, while we're talking about NASA for a minute, do you mind if we go in down the rabbit hole just a little bit and a little bit of potential conspiracy on this?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay, good. There's something on NASA's website called the NASA Buzz Room. And you can kind of think of it as like a chat room, a YouTube, a forum. And what people would do was they would upload videos or things of interest, and NASA and other people would respond. Well, of course, when this Common Element started coming out, people started posting some of their videos on there and commenting about it. Well, there was a NASA employee that made the following comment, and again, somebody, thank goodness, videotaped this and put it on YouTube before NASA took their Buzz Room down. And what the comment was it was a NASA employee that said, "These are my calculations, but I've revised the 0.2 AUs," which is an aeronautical unit, and what he's referring to is the closest distance LNN will be to the Earth. "I've revised it from the 0.24 down to 0.0004617 AUs on October 16th, and then in parentheses, he put, "That's pretty damn close." Now, to give you an idea of what all these numbers mean, one AU, one astronomical unit, is the distance between the Earth and the Sun, and that's 93 million miles. 0.23 AU, which is what they're telling us today is the closest that LNN will be to the Earth, equals 22 million miles, which is still fairly close. Now, the distance, just again to give you an idea, the distance from the Earth to the Moon is 240,000 miles, okay? This NASA employee said that he recalculated it down to that 0.0046178 AU. That equals 50,000 miles, which happens to be lower than some of our satellites. And as soon as he posted that, instead of NASA just taking his comment off, they have shut down the NASA Buzz Room and have not reinstated it since.
Wow.
Yeah. So we don't know for sure, again, what the calculations mean. However, that's fairly telling that they would shut it down and not even come back out. There's quite a few people at NASA that are responding either on their website or to emails. Every so often I'll send them an email trying to verify something, and I get a personal message back. But on this one, they're mum's the word.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense, given the fact that, again, on this conspiracy topic, that the government has been building underground facilities for years now, going back to the late 80s, but in the early 90s, they just started building more and more of them, especially in the Colorado area and the four corner states, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado. They've been building like crazy. Now, again, we don't know for sure if this has a connection to LNN, but it sure does look like it.
There was an article in the European Union Times a couple months ago that indicated that there's a memo sent to the Kremlin talking about this comet element, and as a result of that, they started building 5,000 additional underground bunkers.
Interesting, huh? You know, this is stuff you'll never hear on the mainstream media.
Yeah,
you know,
about the mainstream media? What's your feeling about how they're controlling it?
Well,
wait a minute. How long is this show?
Yeah. I like to call them the lamestream media because that's pretty much what they are. You know, the mainstream media is basically entertainment, folks. I mean, let's face it. You know, these large corporations and these people behind the scenes own the same companies. They own the same banks. They own the same politicians. You know, I don't want to turn this into a conspiracy show, but obviously, there is information that's being put out by mainstream that is meant to not put people in fear about this topic. I mean, so many people don't even know anything about it, that there's a comet heading towards the Earth, you know, or in the vicinity of the Earth. I mean, you ask the average person on the street, they'll go, what? What's Elenin? What? A comet? Really? They have no idea what it is.
That's why we're thankful to shows like you to get this word out.
Exactly. And, you know, they're never going to tell people the truth. And if they do, it's only because they're going to be their hands going to be forced by the alternative media, which is the Internet and, you know, or sources outside of the U.S. I mean, this is part of what I was talking about earlier, the awakening process. You know, technology is neutralizing the playing field now when it comes to information, which is a wonderful thing. But
do you know anything about this bill that's about to be passed in Congress that's going to have a kill switch on our Internet?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it, of course. You know, right now the powers that be realize that the main threat to their power base is the Internet. And, you know, they've gotten together with the power brokers of the world and have figured out that the best way to do this is to enact universal laws through the UN and other agencies, unelected agencies like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, and so on and so forth, to pressure the politicians into passing laws or to bury these laws into bills that no one will ever see. You know, so that is definitely one of their possibility that you know, that a kill switch that will just block out information at will.
Well, and, you know, on that same topic, I'd like to bring something up. There's something else there's a few other things that are going on at the same time. There's an asteroid that's currently being called YU-55, and that's scheduled to come in really close to the Earth on November 8th, very, very close. And that will definitely be between the Earth and Moon's orbit. And, again, that's also available on NASA's website. But what's interesting is that on November 8th, it's going to be close to the Earth. And there's some speculation over the size of it, and there's some kind of conspiracy even going on with the asteroid. But what's interesting is on November 9th, this has already been passed, Homeland Security's FEMA has gotten a go-ahead from the broadcast networks to relinquish their control so that they can run a quote-unquote test of the system. So all of the broadcasting networks are going to relinquish 100% of their control to Homeland Security on the 9th.
Boy, if that isn't scary. You know, there's been an oligarchy controlling most of society for thousands of years. And thank goodness, we now have, you know, technology and other people that are leading the charge, you know, people like David Icke and, you know, the Alex Joneses of the world, and just the average individual who's able to, you know, get their message across to awaken society to these people in power. And, you know, it's no mistake that now we have these massive agencies, you know, taking more and more liberties and freedom away from people. Because before they used to do it behind the scenes, now they just do it out in the open. Ever since 2008, it's just like, we don't care anymore who knows or who sees or whatever's going on. We don't care. You know, you can't stop us. And this is the mentality that they have. But I got news for you. it will change. It will dramatically change. The period that I'm seeing as an astrologer, and other astrologers have said the same thing, from 2010 to 2015, this is a major transformational period, especially when Uranus starts squaring Pluto, which is early part of 2012, but the severe ones are going to be in 2013 and 14. So here we see a major shakeup in some way. Let's just say this comet Elnin does come in and cause some sort of shift in the Earth's atmosphere, magnetic fields, the satellites go down, I don't know. But, you know, there would be a rebuilding process which is going to be a little chaotic, or would be a little chaotic. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying that would cause a lot of disruption. It would cause a lot of chaos. There would be a lot of uncertainty. You'd be getting propaganda from, you know, the powers that be, telling people, this is the way it's got to be. You know, this is it. This is, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, unfortunately, more and more people are not becoming aware of this. Like the average person, the average Joe and Jane on the street, have no idea this is happening. So for us, it's really about awakening people and just telling them, listen, you need to pay attention. I know I've told a lot of people, friends and associates, and I know Kathy has done the same, and your show is doing a great job of getting information out. But this is really a major period between 2010 and 2015. Where anything is possible, anything and everything is possible. This is why we must stay in the highest integrity, in the highest level of conscious awareness, and basically not let fear paralyze us in any way, no matter whatever happens. So that's the one thing we've been advocating, no fear. This change is inevitable. It must take place. It has to, in order for us to get to the next level of conscious awareness. So this Elnin represents a lot of change, a lot of massive changes. So we will just have to see how these changes take place. Many have speculated that it's going to be economic. And we clearly see that one around the world, you know, from Spain to Greece to our own country here, where the economic system is so fragile right now that people don't even realize how fragile it really is. And maybe it could be an economic collapse that takes place. You know, wouldn't that be something?
Well, you know, I have a question about that because you mentioned August 2nd a while ago, and, of course, August 2nd is our deadline for the debt that they're focusing on right now in Congress.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, August 2nd seems to be a very big date.
Yeah, and, you know, Richard C. Hoagland in a roundtable discussion via Project Camelot recently was talking about this asteroid on August 2nd, and the Stereo B, and he said that he actually believes that they're kind of purposely trying to get us to focus on this Elnin to divert our attention away from the other things that are happening. You know, and...
Well, it's all about misdirection.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, before I have a question for you now. Would this be a good time to go through the alignments that are scheduled to happen for the rest of the year?
Yes, but before you do that, I'm curious about Uranus. Uranus being in Aries, I know that it's probably churning a lot of war on the planet and warlike behavior and a lot of bloodlines. Have you researched to see when this comet is going to have a direct influence with Uranus?
No, actually, I have not taken a look at Uranus and the alignment that it's going to make. That's a good question. But Uranus is one of the outer planets. This comet is actually coming in very close, and it's going to affect the major planets on the inside, like Mercury, Venus, Mars, and the Earth. So it's almost as if Uranus is a little too far out right now to affect the asteroid. You know, it's beyond that point. The next couple of months, the comet is already beyond Uranus, and it doesn't seem to be making any significant alignments. I will take a closer look at that to see if it actually is making any alignments. But again, the information, you know, is very blurry. Again, we don't even know If these numbers are correct, the calculations, as Kathy mentioned, the astronomical units, you know, even the scientists are not sure of how close this thing is going to come. So even if I was to make a prediction based on Uranus, it's still uncertain to...
Well, and Uranus is uncertain, and what I was kind of feeling as you were talking about Uranus is that it's the planet that will flash quickly, and it's something that will happen so suddenly and quick no one will know that it's even happening. And it may be just one of those great bursts of energy that is a combination of other things that triggers it. That was my thought.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because on September 27th, there is an alignment that Uranus is involved with. And it happens to be also part of the sixth night of the ninth wave. And the ninth wave is basically broken into 13 sections, days and nights. And the nights are always a time of greater struggle or challenge. And this sixth night creates understanding. So it's almost like the way that I would equate that is if you're trying to create understanding in a sense of trouble, it's like you almost have to kind of get it beaten into you, so to speak.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's interesting because on the 27th, and we're jumping a little ahead here, but on the 27th we have a new moon in Libra, and it's going to be opposing Uranus. So it's very interesting how we're going to be dealing with that at that time, you know, because the new moon, especially in Libra, represents a new opportunity for a union or an awareness within a partnership. You know, this could be humanity coming together, or it could be at odds with each other, you know, Uranus being opposed to it. So we will have to see.
What are we understanding?
Exactly. What is it that we're understanding about humanity? So it is absolutely right on the same day of the new moon in Libra. So it's going to be interesting to see how, you know, Uranus does play a role in this. But I think the more significant role that Uranus is going to be playing is when it begins to square Pluto. And that, like I said, going to be in the beginning of, I think it's March or April, I'm not sure. And then again in 2013 and 14. So it's almost as if the universe is setting up a game plan here. Let's bring in Uranus to either wake up the population or shake things up a bit.
Shake them up.
And then the next couple of years, you need to rebuild in a different way, or a greater awareness in a different way. Make any sense?
Can you give us now the ones that you have charted for the future?
Oh, sure.
Absolutely. So any of the listeners, this might be a really good time to take out a pen and a piece of paper so that you can keep track of these. So on August 17th, we have the Venus, Sun, Mercury, and Earth all in alignment, but LNN is at a 90-degree angle. And this is one of kind of the rare non-actual LNN alignments, but we wanted to put it in there because, again, no one knows for sure exactly what's going to happen. So it's still a pivotal date. And on this, I do want to mention, we were talking about the economic collapse. On the ninth wave, the fifth night, starts on August 18th, so the very next day. And throughout history, the fifth night has been a time of the greatest challenges and struggles. It's a time that we have the Ice Age. It's a time that we have the economic collapse of the 1930s. It's always been a time of great struggle. And the fifth night goes from August 18th through September 4th. So it's hitting right around this first alignment.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you something. Since the 17th and 18th of August, the sun will be at galactic degree. It'll be trying 26 Sag. It'll be in Leo. And it's also the anniversary of the August harmonic convergence. So it looks like it's right in rhythm with a lot of the starseed experiments that are on the planet.
Absolutely. August seems to be a big month, okay, astrologically as well, because not only do we have Mercury going retrograde on August the 2nd, again, another confirmation here. And for those listeners that are not sure what retrograde means, it means going back or acting unusual, revisiting, whatever you want to call it. And it's going to start off in Virgo, which is already high energy, high tension, nervous energy. And I've noticed by the middle of the month, around the 9th and the 10th, we have Mars in Cancer opposing Pluto in Capricorn. We are going to see a showdown of some sort in this country with the budget, or maybe even some protesting, or maybe some violence. I don't know for sure. But according to these alignments, and including Elenin on the 17th, there is some major alignments that are taking place astrologically, having to do with Uranus. The moon will conjunct Uranus, okay, number one. Then the moon will square Pluto, number two. It will square Mars again, and then it will oppose Saturn. There is a big day of activity taking place on the 17th, just as Elenin, you know, seems to make this alignment. So, folks, I would just say pay extra attention in August around these dates, from the 2nd all the way through the 18th, because it's like a window that is opened up for anything that is possible. You know, either chaotic, an awakening, a realization, you know, maybe some frustration. I don't know, but there's something big here in the month of August that we need to pay attention to.
Do you think perhaps we're going to have more extraterrestrial visitations and more contact with some of the starseed on the planet during this period of time?
This is when I wish this was actually a webinar, because Joseph and I just looked at each other and smiled. It just so happens we just gave a UFO class last week, and we're giving another one in a couple weeks, because we are seeing increased activity already. There was just a dust storm that you may have heard about here in Arizona on July 5th. It did make national news, but there was also two objects that were caught in the dust storm on videotape, and one of them looks very much like a UFO taking off. I did a video on it. If you Google Inspiration Gal Phoenix UFO, you'll see it. But interestingly, just yesterday, a new video came out of somebody that was in a plane that was landing that took a video of the same two objects from a different angle. And, you know, the local news here is trying to come out and say, oh, they were planes that were landing. You know, the same people that told us that the Phoenix lights were flares. But what's happening is that there's more and more people looking up, and there's more and more people with video cameras. And I'm not saying that every single one that's captured out there is actually not an airplane and not explainable, but there's enough out there. And it's on you to be creating this awareness. And now I'm going to give you my personal opinion. This evolution of consciousness that I keep talking about, the 16.4 billion year calendar, it is an evolution of consciousness. And it does end on October 28th, 2011, or at least this cycle of it does. And I've been feeling very strongly that after that ends, after those people that are going to go through the evolution of consciousness that are meant to, that it's after that time there'll be more of us that are prepared to accept disclosure and help those other people that may not take it quite as well as we will. I mean, you know, Joseph and I, you know, keep looking up going, any day now, come on.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there is a picture out there. Richard Hoagland speculated on that, what he was seeing and the people that he was seeing, this comet coming into our galaxy here in our atmosphere, is not actually a comet, but a craft. Now, I don't know if that's true. You know, again, there's so much speculation. And it was being accompanied by other crafts on either side of it. Have you seen that picture?
No, but I'd love to.
Yeah, I did. I saw it.
We'll have to get you a link to that. Do we know what it is?
Yeah, well, you know what? After this, if you go to my website, Inspiration Gal, and in the beginning you said Inspirational, it's actually Inspiration Gal. and I'll post some more information. I'm sorry?
Sorry about that.
That's okay. You know what? Everybody does it. It's not a problem. But I'll post a picture of that out there, as well as I was speaking earlier about the stereo A and stereo B that are taking pictures of the sun. In pictures that NASA's taken, they have shots of objects that look remarkably like a host of UFOs around the sun. And again, thankfully, a couple YouTubers got a video of it and was able to save those images because NASA removed them from their site.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah, I bet they did.
Intuitives and the people that have been studying all this information regarding the changes and, you know, wanting to know more about life already know that life exists in other planets, that they have been here, that they are basically watching us, and they're on the outskirts of the atmosphere, and some of them are on the inside, but they've been here. They're watching us. They want to see how we evolve through this period. They do not want to intervene because it's our karma. It's our lives. It's us that have to take the initiative to move forward. But they also realize that the Earth is being controlled by some sort of darker forces or negative energies, whatever you want to call them, whether they're called reptilians or you know, powers that be, whatever you want to call them, they also realize that that is a factor. So they are basically watching us very closely right now and trying to figure out what the best way of intervening would be if need be. Now, they've already, you know, revealed themselves on many occasions. You know, the sighting on October 13th in New York City where they had all of them, you know, just hovering about and they look like balloons. They also did that over Mexico City.
You look at the UFO that was hovering over the Chinese airport last year. One of their major airports had to shut down
Right. Because
the planes could not land around this UFO.
Exactly. So as far as the UFO subject goes, they are here. They know we're going through a transformational period. They are more concerned with the Earth and the atmosphere of the Earth than they are with us, even though many of them are benevolent and higher evolved spirits and souls. But they are realizing that the people of this planet are like little children with matches. And they don't want us to go out there and start blowing things up. And
yeah,
I love
and,
them.
And I'll have to let you know that they are monitoring our show and they are listening to you.
I'm sure they are.
Can we take a moment now to say hello?
Yeah. But I love the line that Stanton Friedman, the famous physicist, says, you know, they're concerned that we export our brand of hospitality into the space community. So we are not evolving fast enough for them.
That's true. I agree.
you have
to do is see the junk that's floating around our planet. It looks like a junkyard from space, so yeah.
Exactly. And it's the ignorance of the average person coupled with the negative lower frequencies of the people that control the planet. You know, there's like, this is a beautiful place. You need to realize there's more potential than just worrying about your job and your car or, you know, all that silly nonsense. So,
right. Yeah. Kathy, do you have some other alignments besides August? Do you have some for September?
Oh, yeah.
We do. We've got six more to go.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. So on, here's an interesting date for you. On September 11th.
Yeah. Sound familiar?
The Elenin is going to be closest to the sun, and it's going to be, which is approximately half the distance of the Earth to the sun. Okay.
I actually think, if I could interject real quickly, I think September 11th, we are going to see something major happening on September 11th. There's no if, and, or but. My instincts have been telling me 9/11, something about 9/11 was going to be an awakening. There was going to be another event of some sort. And maybe it's going to be more of these craft, you know, that just say, okay, wake up. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, we also have,
Do we have the 19th?
No, September 27th, we have Mercury, Sun, Elenin, Earth, and Uranus all lined up.
Okay, and that, again, is very significant, as we said earlier. The new moon in Libra, a new way of embracing relationships or uniting society, or totally devastating them. We don't know, you know, because Uranus is the wild card. It could pretty much represent anything.
And
that's why I was picking up on Uranus a while ago. I think it's the trigger.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and we're also in the beginning of the sixth night, which is the very last night that we go through. There's only one more. It's the 12th of the 13 sections of the ninth wave.
Exactly.
October 17th, this is one to star. October 17th is when it's going to be closest to Earth, and that's that what they're telling us publicly is 0.232 AU. We'll have to wait and see what really happens as it comes in closer. Hopefully the amateur astronomers will be able to see more.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, on the 17th, the moon also makes another alignment to Uranus. And Mercury and Jupiter are going to be opposing each other, which is tension, communication. You know, there may be more tension and communication. This could involve the economic situation. You know, if the calculations or if this takes place on August the 2nd, and then we go into this conflict on in Washington and other places of the world where we already see this, this could escalate into the fall elections.
Right.
You know, and then we see more rioting or more protesting. That's a possibility as well.
And I want to mention at this time, kind of bring up those 3 days of darkness. This is one of the potentials for the 3 days of darkness before the October 17th, that this is when we could potentially be in Elenin's
path.
Yeah, the tail of Elenin. October 28th is not an Elenin alignment, but I do want to just note it. October 28th, 2011 is the very last day of the 16.4 billion year evolution of consciousness Mayan calendar as decoded by Carl Kalman. There is speculation out there that this calendar, as in all the other Mayan calendars, it's just the end of a cycle and we go into another 16.4 billion year cycle, but still it's the end of one big cycle.
Yes.
So November 5th, this is when we're potentially entering the path of Elenin. And again, we'll be having pictures of this up on my website so that you can actually see what's going on. But if you were to draw the path of Elenin's orbit, we are now entering that path. So if there is some kind of debris field or if there is some kind of wake, that would be when we'd be entering it.
Absolutely. And if I can interject here, there really isn't any major alignments that are taking place on November 5th. The day before, there's some light ones, but nothing really concerning us. But it's more the end of October. We have another new moon at the end of October in Scorpio, which is transformation, or it could represent debt or money or finances. You know, so we're going to have to keep an eye on this date as well, you know.
Now, the next alignment is, again, a very auspicious date. It's November 11th. So it's on 11-11-11. We've got Venus, Mercury, Earth, and Elenin all in alignment. And Richard C. Hoagland pointed to this date as well as the September 11th date, saying that he believes, and again, this is his belief, that no naturally occurring natural orbit could line up on those two very important dates. And that's why his belief is that this thing is actually, it is truly a comet, but it's being manipulated by a different entity. So I just wanted to kind of share with you what some other people are saying.
That's very interesting. On November 10th, we have a full moon in Taurus. Once again, Taurus representing money or values. So we may actually have an economic collapse. We don't know. We're not going to be sure until it actually gets closer and closer to see what takes place. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it for sure indicates that, you know, an economic situation that's unattainable or a situation that causes an awakening or awareness of some sort.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because 11-11-11 is also one jaguar on the sacred calendar, and one always signifies initiation or a new beginning. And jaguar kind of has two views on it. The jaguar is one giving thanks to Mother Earth, but it also has to do with the underworld and kind of going into the underground and the darkness. So
interesting, huh?
So our final alignment is November 23rd. That's the sun, the earth, and Elenin.
And it's interesting because on the 24th, we have another solar eclipse in Sagittarius. And that this one is actually more favorable. So whatever takes place from August, you know, all the way to the 23rd of November, on the 24th, there seems to be an awakening, a new sense of identity, a new sense of belief, you know, maybe even a new government. Who knows? But
what degree is it going to be in Sagittarius in November?
What's that?
The degree of the moon. You said that we're going to have something in Sagittarius. What degree do you know?
2 degrees of Sagittarius. Okay?
Say that again.
2 degrees. 2 degrees Sagittarius.
Okay.
Are you looking at the Sabian symbols?
No, I was just curious to what degree it would be. That's all.
Yeah, it would be 2 degrees. But the interesting thing, I just want to point out real quickly. You know, we are a Cancer nation. We were born on July, July 4th, 1776. It's a Cancer nation, and we just had this solar eclipse on the 1st of July. So as many astrologers know, eclipses bring in significant changes. And over the next 6 months, this country will go through a significant change in some way, okay, whether it's greater awareness, whether it's economic collapse, whether it's a better society, whatever it is. But the indicators seem to be a massive change coming to the United States. And even these alignments with Elenin are representing some sort of change, okay?
Yeah.
So whatever happens, stay positive and basically just say everything will work itself out. We will do the best we can. You see, that's been my philosophy and Kathy's as well, that whatever this thing is, whatever happens to it, that this change must happen. This awakening must happen. This evolution must take place.
Well, it's part of the plan. I'm looking at the time. It's our second hour is mostly for questions from our chat room and also from the switchboard. But I'd like to turn it over to Ariel, and then from Ariel, I'd like to go to Sierra, my other co-host.
Okay.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. For the significant changes that will happen, whether it's because of the Elenin or whatever alignments, do you see it as being a possible scenario that people who have already awakened, who have already moved into a higher spiritual place in their own lives and in their own souls, will experience the changes differently from the people who are really married to the status quo?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Like you said, when I was trying to remember all the alignments and the players in that, but I it's kind of soup in my head right now. But when there was an opposition can be balance, or it can be adversarial,
mm-hmm.
right? So I was wondering in that respect that the manifestation of those energies can be different depending on the person, rather than okay, here's just a big wash, it's going to be red for everybody, you know, because of the energies, or is it your own personal level of evolution maybe could turn that red into a little purple. You understand what I'm trying to get at?
Absolutely, absolutely. What it is, it's about perception, and you're absolutely right. It is about perception. Now, what the Mayans talk about in this co-creation the ninth wave and the top of their pyramid there symbolically represents that the energy that's coming in is going to manifest whatever that we believe, you know, what our true nature is, the awakening process, as I was saying. But you and I as light workers, people who are more evolved, that understand what's happening, are here to help other people that are close to awakening or becoming aware. And we are here to change the vibration of the planet from this negative doom and gloom, being suppressed, you know, being fed a bunch of malarkey, being, you know, taught that, you know, one plus two equals three. I mean, it's just, we are basically here, those of us that have evolved further, to help the other people in our lives become more aware. That's what we're here to do.
You know, I actually want to thank you for asking that question, because that question is basically the essence of why Joseph and I are so passionate about what we do. We believe exactly what you're saying. You know, you have the choice as to how you approach every situation. And we're going through test after test after test. And this ninth and final wave with the Mayan calendar, the energies are more intense than ever before. You have to understand the eighth step started in 1999. And each of those 13 sections took 360 days. We're now on the ninth and final step. And each of those 13 learning sections are 18 days. So what we used to take 360 days to process through the energies are now up to 18. And going back to their 3 days of darkness, Don Alejandro, a Mayan elder and one of the speakers for the Maya, talk about these 3 days of darkness. And he says that, you know, his passion, his mission is to get the information out there that if we do have these 3 days of darkness, that we should not approach it in fear, that we should approach it as a welcoming, and that we now have 3 days to dedicate to get closer to Source, closer with that connection with God, Source, Alpha, Omega, whatever you want to call it. But it's our opportunity to do that, and it's going to be our choice. Do you take those 3 days, and do you sit and meditate and think on love and think about how much we're all connected, or do you run around in fear and you know, like a maniac? And it's really our choice.
Right. Well, whenever people talk about shifting and changes, there's like two reactions: the ones that are afraid, and the ones who are, come on, bring it on, because the way things have gotten to be in the third dimensional world, the only people that would fear change are the ones who are profiting at the, you know, misery and suffering and devastation of the planet, and you know, it's the people who made it such a mess that don't want it to change because you know, they've got power and money and whatever else they've got. But for our audience and our Starseed community and people beyond this radio show, the change is it's like finally getting some warm days after a long winter, because there has been oppression and there has been an attempt to squelch the light. But I know that when I do sessions with people, I always end it with, we all have one mission in common. Many people have more than one mission, but the one mission we all have in common is to be balanced and steady through these changes, and to be a beacon of light and hope and optimism, and lead the way into a much better place to be, as a world civilization.
Oh, absolutely, and it's scientifically proven. you know, that love or this higher awareness, whatever you want to call it, is a higher vibration, and that fear is a lower vibration. And
right.
We live in a multidimensional world, you know? So all these changes that are going to occur are going to separate society in a sense. Even the Hopis have this drawing. Where is it? Up at the
Prophecy Rock.
Yeah, Prophecy Rock.
Oraibi, Arizona.
Oraibi, Arizona. That divides. They show this image of, you know, one. There's a split where on one part of the image, the people on top are all happy and they're aware and awake, and the ones below it are.
You've actually got just the opposite.
I'll let Kathy.
He's close. There's two lines, and the people that are on the top are actually the people that are not grounded. They're living away from the earth, and they're living in this manufactured world with credit cards and opulence, and their lifeline is very short. And then there's the second line that's closer to the earth, and it's those people that are living close to the earth, that are nurturing the earth, that they live the long life, and they talk about how they can make it through this transition. And there's actually a line between the two paths that indicates that at any point you can choose, if you're on that high, the other path that's away from the earth, you can make the choice to get back and get grounded and get on the path.
There you go.
It is all about, you know, our choice and our perception.
Right.
Well, I think I'm going to pass the lead now to Sierra.
Hello. Thank you both
Hi,
so much. Hi. Thank you both so much for being here today and having the courage to just bluntly put it how you see it and what you're getting and getting people even more prepared. It's a pretty tough message to be with in the beginning, and then the real message is about love and light and focus, which I appreciate. I have a couple of questions, actually maybe one question and one statement. What was the days, I missed it, that you thought that there might be the possible 3 days of darkness? What was that date?
We don't have a specific date on that, and I'm glad that you bring that up. We don't even know if it's going to be this summer, but there's two possibilities there. Sometime before October 17th, October 17th is when it's going to be closest to the Earth. So it's before that we could be hitting its tail, which could cause the 3 days of darkness. And then after November 5th, we're entering the path of Elenin, and it's at that time that if there is some kind of wake, a debris field or something like that, that we could be entering again into that which would cause the 3 days of darkness. One more thing before the 17th. Again, there's so much speculation over the size of this. Some people are saying that it's going to be so large that it'll block out the sun, and that could cause the 3 days of darkness. I personally can't buy that one because it would have to be a little bit bigger than the moon, and I think we might be seeing it by now if that was the case.
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. And then the other question is, on the picture, you said that you saw that picture of Elenin with possible ships and different things all around it. And, you know, there is the conversation about that it itself could be some sort of craft. What
mm-hmm.
is your personal, like, take on that? I mean, why would all of a sudden we have, of course, all the other, our others out there watching us, but what do you think it is about this, around this particular craft? Why do you think they're coming, you know, what's your personal take on that picture you were talking about?
My personal take is that the craft that are outside of our galaxy right now, outside of the Earth's atmosphere, let me rephrase that, and the ones that are going and investigating the sun's atmosphere, and that they are curious. They are basically curious about this craft or this, I don't want to say craft because we don't really know what it is, or comet. And what they're basically trying to do is divert it or trying to guide it away from its course. That's my personal opinion. And I don't, you know, I could be wrong, but they're literally trying to divert this comet away from the Earth. And there's so many craft and UFOs right now surrounding the Earth or in the Earth's atmosphere or even in these other dimensional fields that we cannot see. They're here making sure that this planet does not get destroyed, okay? Whether it's man-made or whether it's natural disaster, such as a comet colliding with it or whatnot. But that's what they're doing. That's what I personally think is happening. They are watching everything that could be a possibility for destruction here, and they will not allow it.
Well, you know, and while you're on the subject, I want to share something that hasn't come up yet. There is one more theory that we haven't shared yet, so I just want to kind of put it on the table. Some people believe that it is a comet, it is coming in, but that the crafts are, that there's a whole legion of crafts behind it that are kind of using this as their diversion or their shield so that they can come in so that we don't see them. And what some folks are saying is, see, we saw them all around the sun. You know, this is what's going on. I personally don't buy into that one, although I think it's fair to state it because who am I to say? I also want to let you know, there's a lot of controversy over whether or not it's a dwarf star or whether or not it's Nibiru. If it was a dwarf star, from everything that I understand about a star, I think we would know that it was in our solar system if we had another star this close. Science has proven that every star does have a dwarf star, so we do, our sun does have a dwarf star. Supposedly, science just hasn't found it yet.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Kathy, about if there are craft accompanying this thing, they don't need to use it for cover. They have technology. If they don't want to be seen, they won't be seen, and they don't need a an outside force to accomplish that.
You know, we Joseph and I live here in Phoenix, and so you've probably heard of the Phoenix Lights.
Right.
You know, there was a huge V-shaped craft that went very slowly over our state and then took off. And V-shaped crafts are now being seen all over the world. And I'm just mentioning V-shaped. There's plenty of other types of crafts as well. I personally believe that they don't need any kind of comet to hide them.
Exactly.
No.
And that actually brings me to my next question or sort of statement or wanting to see what you're obviously, the both of you are here in Phoenix and in Phoenix and Arizona. And I just left Colorado and felt a strong, strong pull to move down here. And I currently live in Cornville near Sedona. And what I'm seeing and witnessing here kind of blows my mind as far as the activity. And then you talk to the residents that live here, and they talk about how the concrete plant here on Mingus Mountain, they sit and watch 18-wheelers go in there, funnel in there all day long, full of concrete, and they don't come back out again. So obviously there's ongoing construction of underground bases in this particular vicinity. Do you have any idea or want to state why you feel like you all were drawn here, why you think you're in this area, and does it have anything to do with the things that are coming up?
Well, again, how much time do we have? I'll give you my short answer. I'm an only child. My mom was never married. I had a very close bond with my mother. After moving away from Buffalo, I originally moved to California and then here. We found out that my mom had terminal cancer. And at that point, all logic should have told me to move back home. I was very close with my mother. I loved her very much. But everything in my being said that I had to stay here. I didn't know a soul. I was completely displaced. No family, no friends, no job, no car, no nothing. but everything in my being told me that I absolutely, positively had to stay here from hell or high water. And at that point, I was not very far along my path, so to speak. And the longer that I'm here, the more that I know that I'm personally in the right place.
Yeah, there's something about the four corners of the United States. See, the Earth has many different energy portals that are connected into other dimensions, and the four corners is one of them. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Utah. And this is where you're going to find some of the most activity underground that you could possibly imagine. You know, like Colorado has more tunnels underground than any other place else in the country. You know, and a lot of those are military complexes. If you go into the northern part of Arizona, northwest part of Arizona, this is where there's a lot of Native American tribes. And there, you know, there is definitely an indication of something going on underground as well, having to do with ETs. Now, we all know about Nevada, you know, with all the testing at Area 51 and so forth, but the Southwest seems to be a haven for underground activity for ETs, for military industrial complex. There's also the speculation of all kinds of genetic manipulation taking place underground. You know, and I don't want to go into that, but everything seems to be taking place underground.
Well, if I may for a second, I want to speak about the four corners quickly. The Hopi talk about their mythology, and they say that long ago they were told to spread out and go settle and explore. But when the time of the great shift was to happen, they were supposed to come back to the four corners, that is a sacred place for them.
I also think it's an area that is either protected, you know, geographically by the Earth's magnetic fields. I know I was drawn here, much like Kathy. The moment I got here, I said, I need to be here. I just knew it. But everyone that comes here, that lives here, knows that they need to be here. And so I think it's the energy of this area reconnecting with us that we know that we're supposed to be here. So those of us that are more highly in tuned and aware are here, and we're doing what we need to do. And maybe somehow after this change of consciousness or this awakening or possibly, you know, devastation in terms of economics or maybe even earth changes with weather and so on and so forth, even though we know a lot of that's being manipulated as well, maybe we're the ones that are supposed to rebuild society afterwards, you know, socially, spiritually, hopefully no economically, you know. But the people are going to come from certain parts of the world to rebuild, in a sense, rebuild or reawaken society. And the four corners seems to be very significant in that rebuilding process.
I agree. And I was really disappointed because I was drawn to Colorado thinking that I would be there during the change. And it shifted dramatically because of the military presence that then started to take up space underground. And so I left there and was drawn down here to Cornville. And it's just amazing how all of the residents around here just, oh, yeah, there's an alien base underneath ground. And it feels very positive. They feel very benevolent. And I know that I'm in the right place. So I just wanted to have others hear, you know, why we're here. And I really enjoy what you said, so thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey. Thanks, Sierra. We're going to check in with Purple Sage now in the chat room. So people in the chat room, give your questions ready. Hello, Purple Sage.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
The chat room is buzzing, and I hope you have enough time for all of these questions. They just keep coming at me.
Okay, let's go.
First of all, I want to make the proud comment. I am from the Four Corners area, and I totally agree. That whole area, when you're out there in that desert, you can feel the energy. It just is amazing. But let's get to the questions. Somebody asked, what can we do to prepare for these changes, and how can we help others to be prepared, especially when, if the subject is brought up, we get crazy looks, or, you know, we don't want to freak them out either.
Well, first off, let me get back to what you were saying about the four corners, that, you know, we feel the energy here. Grenvalo, I'm sure many of your listeners know who he is, Melchizedek, made an interesting statement one time. He said the reason that Sedona was so, that you feel the energy in Sedona, is because the iron in the dirt here is much higher. You know, and iron, as we know, is a conductor of electricity. So the entire Southwest, especially the Four Corners, seems to have higher levels of iron or something in the soil also that make it more conducive to picking up energy. That's number one. Number two, getting back to what we can do, the best thing that we could do is stay centered. And what I mean by that is not get panicky and all wrapped up in the chaos if it happens in our lives on a daily basis. We stay centered and we realize who we are. We are highly spiritual beings with human experience. We must always remember that we are always connected to the source, that we are here in this time because we chose to be here, and that we are living in the playground right now, because once we cross over, we no longer have a physical body. We are formless, just energy, just floating about. We cannot do the same things that we're doing here. It's important to stay centered, to realize that we are connected to the source that we call God or the universal creator or whatever you want to call it, that whatever happens, that there is a purpose for it and that we will get through. Everything is a learning experience. So the best thing we can do is share with other people. We are in the midst of a great transformation. It's an awakening that we must awaken to what's really important in life and then stay centered in that process.
You know, and I want to address the statement about, because I know exactly what you're talking about. You start talking about these kind of things with somebody that really has no experience with any of this, and they look at you like you've just lost your noggin. And I kind of feel like I specialize in that because I come from that world, and I do come from kind of left-brain thinking. And when I first found out about this Elenin, I did do a video on it, but I started off by saying, you know, there's no fear around this, none. I grew up in Buffalo, New York, and when a weatherman came on and said, there's a blizzard coming, what we did was we prepared for it, and we knew that there was a possibility that we would not have electricity because the ice would basically knock out the power lines. There was a possibility we would not have water because the pipes would freeze. So when the weatherman came on and said, you know, hey, a blizzard's coming, we just prepared for it. We got extra food. We got extra water. We made sure that we had kitty litter in the trunk, made sure that we had clothing for it. We didn't run around panicking. And we should take a very similar approach to this. This is nothing more than a different kind of weather forecast. You know, it's something else that's happening in our solar system that could potentially have some fairly dramatic effects. And something that we kind of only alluded to before was there really is the possibility that whether Elenin causes it or the solar activity that's now greater than they have seen since the 1800s could knock out our power grid. We could have no cell phone. We could have no ATM access. In most major cities, after 3 days, your grocery stores will be out of food. You know, if they can't get gas. Without electricity, you can't put gas. Without your ATM card, you don't have money to get the gas. I mean, it's all kind of a snowball effect. So again, this isn't something to fear. It's just something that we should be planning for. Back in the 1800s and earlier, we were always prepared. That's just how we live. We just have to go back to basics and remember some of those basics that we've gotten so far away from.
Absolutely. Did you have another question?
Does that help?
Absolutely, yes. Somebody asked about when you mentioned a feeling of offness. What do you suggest that we can do to be more 100% on?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, we're all feeling it. It's not like there's not like one person is experiencing something different. When you're feeling that offness, the best thing to do is not to overreact, not to look within and go, oh, my life is this, I can't move forward, blah, blah, blah. The best thing to do, believe it or not, is to meditate. And what I mean by that is spend time in some sort of nature, spend time with your family, spend time with your friends, people that are going to lift your spirits, you see, and realize that we're all going through this together. Okay, if there's no one there, then I would absolutely spend a little more time in nature. Because nature, you know, when you're around nature, it forces you to pay attention. You know, you realize the life that's around you. You realize the energy that's around you. Your senses are alive. So do not go to that place where, you know, fear creeps in. I started doing this years ago where as soon as the negativity or doubt would come in or the pessimism, I would stop it. I would just stop it in its tracks and just go, nah, it'll all work out. Things will work out. Everything's great. I'm so grateful to be alive, you know, or grateful that I'm having this experience. So it's an ongoing process of trying to stay centered and not let the energy that's shifting and pulling us and making us feel heavier and let it bring us down. That's the worst thing we could do.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and Joseph mentioned that we're all going through this, but we're all kind of going through it differently. You know, you and the people on this call, they get it. And when they feel the energies, they're speaking that way. And they know that that we're all going through these shifts. But there's a lot of people out there that are fighting it. And I'm seeing a lot of personal relationships more changing as a result of it. You know, you may have a married couple or a partnership where one person is evolving consciously and the other person is fighting it, and that can cause struggles in the home. And it's at that point we have to be able to reach out to people that get it and spend some time with people that you can have open, honest, down the rabbit hole type conversations with them.
Exactly, yeah. Let's see, somebody asks, do you know anything about the Honda comet? I haven't ever heard of it, so I guess there's a comet named Honda?
Yes, there's actually two more comets out there. There's Honda and the Levy. Honda, I just happened to pull it up here. I had it just in case somebody asked. Honda is going to make its closest pass to Earth on August 15th, 2011. So you see that there's a whole lot of stuff going around in August.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, we don't know how large Honda is, but again, it's going to be passing really close to Earth on October 15th. While we're on the subject quickly, there's also Comet Levy, L-E-V-Y, and that passes closest to Earth on January 8th, 2012. And there's also the asteroid YU-55. It's actually called the asteroid 2005 YU-55, which is, again, available on NASA's website, and I'm going to be putting all of this. I have all this on my website, Inspiration Gal, but it is also passing close to Earth, and its closest approach is on, like we said earlier, November 8th.
Okay. And I want to remind everybody in the chat, because we have had questions asking about the links where they can go get more information about things that you have said, we do have the two websites posted on the show page, so you can get it from there. Regarding the comet, somebody wanted to know the comparison between the size of Halley's Comet and Elenin.
You know, that's a brilliant question. Nobody knows. You know, some people are on polar opposite sides of the fence. Some people are saying that it's very small and insignificant. Other people are saying that it has to be large because its orbit is so huge. And even its orbit is in hasn't been locked down yet. It's from anywhere to, 1,000 years to 15,000 years. A lot of people are kind of focusing on a 3,600-year orbit because that aligns with Nibiru. It also aligns with the precession of the equinox. Supposedly, the scientist Elenin, who discovered it, he's more in favor of the 11,000-year orbit. So again, if it's a larger orbit like that, they're saying it has to be a larger body. However, I'm not an astronomer, I'm not any kind of scientist like that, but I personally don't buy it because I went on NASA's website and I found a whole bunch of other comets that are out there and asteroids that are small and that have huge orbits. So nobody knows the size for sure yet, and I'm really sorry that we can't give a better answer for that yet.
Oh, I think your answer was quite sufficient, quite informational.
While we're on this misinformation, there's one more thing that I want to bring up that we didn't talk about. They're calling it the comet Elenin, and they said that it was discovered in December 10th, 2010. But I did some research, and on space.com, there's an article that was posted November 8th talking about this comet, C, and it's the official name is C-2010. Elenin, but in this November 8th article, they mention the C20 comet. They say that it was detected by amateur astronomers in Japan, and in the exact same article, they talk about this Russian astronomer, Elenin, who in New Mexico remotely viewing it. So even the information about when it was discovered is very suspect.
Right. Okay.
One thing's for sure that these comets are definitely getting closer and closer to the Earth. Everything seems to be indicating that. So we'll just have to see how it plays itself out.
Right. Okay. One of the questions we have kind of goes along with that. Do you think that our government and governments around the world are building underground cities because they know what is coming to this planet?
There's absolutely no speculation about that. They absolutely are. And it's not only the governments. There's a website out there, and believe it or not, they're called ARC. I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but it's ARC. And there's a website out there, and they freely tell you what cities they're building these ARCs under. Phoenix is one of them. The tickets are all sold out. They're all taken. And that's just one entity. There's also other underground facilities that the government is definitely building. But I do want to say this. There's been some communications from elders that are communicating with the world, and they remind us that going underground, or you know, the people that will make it through this shift are not going to be the ones who do it through sneaky measures, so to speak. You know, the way to make it through this shift is going to be all about being centered, and so I personally have no kind of fear or even drawn to go to any of these kind of underground bunkers.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a good point.
I could interject a thing. It just struck me as if they're going to need to go underground, because when the truth comes out, the rest, imagine the people are going to be chasing them. They need a place to hide from us. You know
that?
go ahead, Purple Sage.
Well, I just think that was a good thing to bring up, that, you know, as long as you're prepared and you're being the best, you know, person that you can be, then that's pretty much the preparation that you need. You don't need to go into the underground or whatever.
Well, and I also want to mention this. I was talking to Barbara Hancock about this very subject, about Ellen and quote-unquote no fear and all this business. And her comment was that, you know, above all, we should have no fear of death. Because if we believe everything that we're talking about, if we move quickly into our next being, or the next dimension, or the next way of being, that's a most wonderful place to be. And if we are taken off, and if you go back to like what the rapture says, the good ones are taken away. So if we're meditating, we may be the ones that go off world first. And we should have absolutely no fear around if we are the ones that are taken first, no matter how we go.
That's a good point. I guess if we are fearful of death, that means that we're buying into the fear.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
With all of the things that are happening in August, is it possible that star seeds or people who are able to read and feel the energies, could they be starting or beginning to feel those energies right now?
Oh, we've been feeling the energies for quite a while. Okay. This is nothing new. This is intensified early part of 2010. You know, it started getting heavier and heavier. We're all absolutely feeling the energies.
You know, when I mentioned this ninth wave, I have a core set of folks that we all follow the Mayan calendar fairly closely, and almost to the minute, I mean, on March 9th, when this ninth wave started, every one of us started feeling the energies, and we each, I mean, I can speak personally, my personal life was kind of shaken and thrown on the ground, and I mean, pretty much any area you can think of was turned upside down. And as I was going through that, I was just, you know, this is what's supposed to be. This is what's happening. And thankfully, you know, I had the other folks that were experiencing similar things, and we just, you know, we're still living in this 3D human world, so we still have these emotions. But, you know, knowing that we're not going through it alone, knowing that this is a natural progression and a natural evolution helps when you're feeling those energies.
Absolutely.
Right.
Get
okay.
ready. I want to stress this again. August 18th through September 4th, that's the fifth night of this ninth wave, and that's going to be a pretty contentious time.
Absolutely. Do you have another question?
I'm in the middle of reading what perhaps is another question, but we'll save it. That's it for now.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Purple Sage. We're going to check in. I'll be back one more time. We only have about 15 minutes left, but I'll be back one more time to pick up that question if it's completed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, sweetie. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh.
We have another caller.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in here. So what the listeners really need to do is to really focus on being positive and grounded and staying centered. And there's another thing that people are starting to do, too, as they wake up and they realize they're not supposed to be where they're at. So we see a lot of people waking up and walking out of corporate America jobs. We see a lot of people waking up and moving last minute someplace. This all has to do with our awakening and our awakening process, yes?
Absolutely.
Yep. Totally. Absolutely. This is a transformation. This is a transformation of consciousness.
Absolutely. And so what people need to do is just honor, even if they end up feeling like they need to move away from family or move away from different things, like they just need to honor the process for which they're going through and let themselves be led to the area where they need to go. Instead of going by fear, really getting centered and really getting focused and really listening to their higher guidance on this.
Absolutely.
And I went through a pretty major transformation like that as well. And I think the most important tip or guide that I can give to other folks is doing it with love. The Inca say that there's three Inca laws, and the first law is the law of love. And so often when we're going through, I know when I was going through my major shift, the people that were closest to me in my life, they literally started vibrating away from me. And we have to remember that there's nothing wrong with them. They're not doing anything purposefully or negatively. It's us that is going through the shift, and that hopefully we can gravitate to other people that are in the same type of vibration.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that currently we have this, in the age of information and having our online resources to really encourage people to, that's what I've been doing in my community, is reaching out and getting like-minded people together. And yeah, that's what we're doing here with the Starseed Radio Academy, is to basically let people out there know that they're not alone. And when people feel like they have a sense of community, then they feel empowered to do what it is that they're here to do. So our listeners out there are the starseed, and by definition, starseed is we are aware that we are not from Earth, that our last incarnation, we came from another existence to come during this time, like you had touched on earlier, to help people and help human beings through this transition. And so we are all down here offering something where everybody, whether or not they feel like they're starseed or not, can have an impact, a positive impact on people and the evolution that we're experiencing right now and the shift.
You're absolutely right. What people have to understand is that there is a giant matrix in this universe, and that we're all connected to it. We call it God, the source, the creator, whatever you want to call it. It's an energy field that we are all connected to. And that source is within us at all times. It's within all living life. And when the greatest thing that we could do is either meditate or listen to our intuition. That is important. The second best thing you could do is, when those times hit and there's uncertainty, we ask to be shown. Ask to be shown how to move forward. How? Show me the opportunities. Show me how I could best utilize this period. How can I maximize my full potential? Ask to be shown. Something very simple to do. And you can do it right before you go to sleep at night. Show me how I move forward. Show me how I could better myself. Show me how I could utilize my talents. Show me, and the universe will answer. So we have to remember that we are all connected to this source of energy, and that we are all one in this universe. We are multidimensional beings living in. Go ahead.
Absolutely. That's amazing. Thank you so much for that. Is there any other resources out there that we could point our listeners to, anything that they could do, classes or anything else that you all offer that people can look to, or information that you have?
Well, I'm a professional astrologer as well as a psychic medium, And Kathy and I do presentations together. As a matter of fact, we have another one in Tempe on the 30th. This one's going to be on UFOs. We've already done one on UFOs. And we've been doing some stuff about 2012. We have a DVD out of one of our lecturers, Road to 2012.
And that Road to 2012 goes much more deeper into the key dates of 2011 of astrology and the Mayan calendar. In that one, we only kind of touched on Elenin.
Exactly. But, you know, this is a period now where we have to become more self-reliant. So if you go into Kathy's website or my website and, you know, from time to time see what's out there, I put out a newsletter, an astrological newsletter. You know, you could always get on that, get an idea of what's out there. And Kathy posts a lot of videos and information as well.
I share a lot on my Facebook fan page, which, again, is Inspiration Gal. I want to talk just very briefly. There's something that Greg Braden put out, which is a book called The God Code, that goes into scientific detail of how we are all connected. And you can find videos.
Well, thanks. Those are great resources. We have one more call that we want to try to get to before we get back to the chat room. We only have about 8 minutes left here, so I'm gonna move on to the switchboard here, and we're gonna talk to Ralph. Hello, Ralph. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you very much. I appreciate you bringing me on. Really exciting show, I appreciate the good information. I was just wondering, I had two things, a question and a comment. I was wondering if let me say this. A couple of weeks ago, I heard that this object that was coming was under intelligent control because it was had shifted its trajectory. I was wondering if they heard anything about that. And the other comment was about the triangle-shaped craft and so forth. I just wanted to make a statement that the Black Ops folks are really doing everything to instill fear in people all around the world, and that they have these crafts of different shapes and sizes, and really have to kind of consider whether they're really alien or not. And that my own personal feeling is that most of them are not, and it's all part of the program to the fear-mongering program. So that's my comment.
You're absolutely right. One of the things that the powers that be are going to focus on next is going to be the UFO fear. So you're absolutely right. We already have the craft. The evidence is overwhelming that we already have these crafts, and many of them are ours. They belong to us, you know, and that these powers that be are using them. You're absolutely right. And as far as the other statement goes, Richard Hoagland thinks that this craft is being guided in some way, or this object, this comet, whatever you want to call it, is being guided. Again, it's all speculation right now because no one could actually prove it. You know, if you're an amateur astronomer and you've got a telescope and you're watching this, then you have more evidence than the average person.
Yeah, and on that subject, right now, Elenin is only visible in the southern hemisphere, so unfortunately those of us in the States are kind of, you know, not in the know, so to speak. And I have seen quite a few of the blogs that are stating that its path has changed. But interestingly enough, it's very difficult to go back and find the source of some of this information. I spend a ridiculous amount of time trying to dig to the source of some of this information, and a lot of times I can find one source that everybody else jumps on, and it happens to be somebody that's just making things up. So it's really difficult to weed through facts and fiction.
Absolutely. So you know, but just remember, you're on the right track with the UFO card.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. You know, they're going to try and project the fear. They're going to try and keep people suppressed. That's why you're seeing Hollywood putting out all these movies like Battle L.A. and Destruction and all that stuff.
And the
short movies that are coming out on television.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely there's a propaganda campaign going on. Don't buy into it. You're already ahead of the curve. So just tell your friends and family the same thing. You know, don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. So, like, whatever happens, it's in the next couple of months, we will see. We'll see how it unfolds. You know, just stay optimistic.
Yeah. Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Thank you, Ralph.
I appreciate it.
We are going to get one more question from the chat room here, and that's about all the time we have. And I, Purple Sage, we are back. Do we have a quick question to answer?
Yes. In what direction in the sky can we look for Elenin? Elenin.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately right now it doesn't really matter where you look if you're in the northern hemisphere because it's not visible here.
Okay.
We will reportedly be able to see it south if we look south and east as it approaches closer. However, I'm waiting for it to get closer to find out the real truth on that.
Okay. All right. Well, we do have a lot of listeners from the southern hemisphere, so they should be able to see it pretty well then?
Not yet.
Uh-huh.
Not from what I understand. I think it's still out there because it's between our orbit and Mars, and my understanding it's still a bit too far to be seen in, with the naked eye.
You have telescopes, and you know you want them to look up there. By all means, you know there's some software too that you might be able to, you know, use to get the trajectory.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. But the greater time will probably be September, October.
Okay. Excellent.
Okay. Well, we will be watching the sky. Thank you so much, Purple Sage, and to all the folks in the chat room, thank you so much for joining us. And well, the time has just flown by, which is always the mark of great guests and great information. Joseph, Anthony, and Kathy Beckman, thank you so much for spending your time with us. And Lavendar, I know you're sitting back listening.
Yes, it's been a wonderful show, and I really want to thank our guests for coming on, and I hope that you'll come back and be a guest again, maybe as we get closer to the middle of August, that you'll come back and maybe give us a report, say, just before the 17th, because I've always been looking toward the 17th and 18th of August as a major day of all the starseed experiments on the planet ever since August harmonic convergence. And I would like to mention that after the Teton meetings, those that attended and came back, I noticed that there's going to be less fear in your bloodlines and less fear in your whole consciousness. And that's going to be required because no matter what happens, you have to be really steady and you have to be ready to take the sword out of the stone.
That's right.
Well, I want to just get all the co-hosts' microphones turned on so we can all... bid you farewell together. We have Purple Sage in the chat room. We've got Sierra. We've got Tammy on the switchboard. Lavendar, myself, Ariel. Thank you so much to Joseph Anthony and Kathy Beckman. Make sure to visit their website, planetswithin.com, astrologicalstrategies.com, and inspirationgal.com. And I got it right that time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We will be back next week, as we are every week on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also catch the show in the archives if you tuned in late. Just go to our show page at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. And we will talk to you all next week.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.